Matthew, the 13th chapter, is what I was talking about last week. And Matthew, the 13th chapter, starts off with a parable of the sower sowing the seed. And after he says the parable, the disciples go to him and say, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And I shared this last week, but it's ironic that they said that, because they didn't say, "Why do you speak to us in parables?" It says, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" It's kind of a backdoor way of saying, "What in the world did you mean by that?" Only they didn't want to admit they didn't understand. So they said, "What do you speak to them in parables for, the other people?" And then he says, "For them it's not given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto you it's given." And the only thing that he was talking about that divided them between the others is because they came in asking, "What did he mean?" Even though they did a backdoor way, he says, it's for you to know. Those who want to know, those who are hungry to know, those that are seeking to know, they're the ones that's going to get the truth. "If you continue in my word, continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Hallelujah. All right, now this is the 12th chapter. I just kind of want to give that 13th chapter a little bit, because I want you to see some of the things that are leading into it. You understand? So we'll read this. We'll start with the 22nd verse. It says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed them, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spoke and saw." So this was one person who was blind and dumb, and he both spoke and saw. "And all the people were amazed and said, 'Is not this the son of David?'" Now, the difference between this time and another time, it says, "Is not this the son of Joseph, you know, of Nazareth?" Only this time they said, "Is not this the son of David?" You know what that means? Is not this the one that is promised, the Messiah? It says, "When the Pharisees heard this, they said, 'This fellow doth cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils.'" And so he's saying that this blind man, this blind and dumb man, could not speak, was cast out. The demons that were cast out of him was done by the power of the devil. He says, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation.'" I heard somebody quote Abraham Lincoln the other day. And they said, he said, "Every kingdom divided against itself cannot stand." He was quoting the Bible, you know, and yet the people that were giving this documentary didn't realize, either maybe they did realize it and didn't want to point out that this was of the Bible. But the point was, is he didn't come up with that. He read it in the Bible. And so every kingdom divided against itself, the devil is not divided. And that's what he's saying there. Satan doesn't cast out Satan, right? Well, it's the same thing's true of the body of Christ. We are in the kingdom of God. And a kingdom that is divided cannot stand. We need to be united with all other believers across the table. And you say, "Well, how can we do that? Can we get so many millions and millions of people?" No, but we can be united in our hearts, you see. There's an interesting verse of scripture in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said this: "Whosoever refers to his brother as a fool is in danger of hellfire." Wow, that's pretty serious, isn't it? That's pretty serious. Well, who's a fool? Well, you know, Psalm 14:1, "The fool has said in his heart, 'There is no God.'" You know, it's like the guy that was put a lawsuit in America. It says, you got Christmas, you got Easter, you got all these days that celebrate Jesus, but I'm suing because there's no celebration. We have no celebration day for an atheist. And the judge that he was coming before says, well, of course you do. April Fool's Day. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's, so yesterday was it April 1st yesterday? That was the atheist celebration day. Can Satan cast out? And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? Let's go. And if by Beelzebub cast out devil, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do the children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. You know, and it's like the ones that are judged. In other words, he's saying, the people, if you remember another time when a blind man got healed and the Sanhedrin brought him against them and says, you know, where is this man that did that? And he said, why? Do you want to get healed too? Next verse. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. We're moving around. Or else how can one either into a strong man's house spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he come and will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto me. This is one of those arguments that I have sometimes with my brothers in Jesus that don't believe in speaking in tongues. And they say, well, that's of the devil. And I said, so just to be clear, you're telling me if I ask the Lord for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he's giving me a devil instead. Just to be clear, I think you need to be a little careful with that statement. You know, that's one of those things I stand on. If I ask for the Holy Ghost, do you think he's going to give me a devil? He says, if your son asked for a loaf of bread, would you give him a stone? If he asked for a fish, would you give him a serpent? Another place it says, if he asked for, what was it? He says, you give him a scorpion, you know? He says, if we which are evil know how to give good things to our children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give good things to us? In the Luke translation, it says, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So, you know, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit technically is attributing the works of God to the Holy Spirit. Or attributing the works of the devil to God. So both of them are blessed. Let's see. Wherefore I say it, next verse please. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in that which is to come. I mean, this is serious talk. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. In other words, you can't say the tree is bad, but the fruit's good. Or the tree is corrupt, but the fruit, you know, tree is good, but the fruit is corrupt. He says, and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Oh, generation of vipers. Remember he's talking to the Pharisees. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I remember hearing a sermon by Kenneth Copeland one time, and Kenneth Copeland was having his car fixed on. And when he walked in to be told what was going on with his car, these mechanics started really bow, 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 bow with curse words. And then they realized, oh, this is Kenneth Copeland, the famous preacher. And they said, oh, we're sorry that, you know, we were saying these words. Well, he said, hey, you don't worry about me. I just found out what is in you in abundance. So, a good man and out of the good treasure of his heart, bring forth good things. An evil man out of the treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Ooh. Could we go back and skip that verse? No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Oh God, I'm glad I got the blood of Jesus on my side. For by thy words thou shalt be justified. That's what it says. Whoso believeth that Jesus that has been raised from the dead and confess him to be his Lord, he shall be saved. For by those words a man shall be justified. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from you. But he says, he said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given them except, but for the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation. Now, with this generation, they're not rising with this generation. They're rising against the generation, is what it's saying. They'll rise in judgment. So The men of Nineveh will condemn this generation. Now, he's talking about the generational vipers that are come then. But, you know, earth, this world, this United States of America is not far behind. Because the men of Nineveh will rise in judgment. Because if you know the story of Jonah going to Nineveh, they all repented in Nineveh at that time. It says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Somebody say amen. And the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation. Now, a couple of weeks, about 3 weeks ago on Sunday night, my daughter Amy preached a sermon, which I missed, but I got it second hand and third hand and fourth hand and fifth hand, you know, because I was listening to it from everybody. Then finally I asked Amy, tell me all about it. This was one of her major scriptures that she used. And she was talking about the Queen of the South. Who is the Queen of the South? The Queen of Sheba. Okay? And if you know the story about the Queen of Sheba going to Solomon, then you would know, if you have as good a memory as I have, that was Stuart Granger and Gina Lola Brigida. That was the Solomon story. What year? Man, I'm pretty good, but I'm not that good. Rick would know. The Queen of Sheba shall rise up in judgment. So how is she going to rise up in judgment against this generation, the people that he's talking to? And she goes, here's how she does it. It says, with this generation, and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now, what was the wisdom of Solomon? I mean, what was the coming from the old? Well, it was coming from Sheba. But it was a journey that took weeks and weeks and weeks to go on. It says she heard of the queen of Solomon. And she went on this long journey to hear the wisdom of Solomon. It says, shall rise up in judgment of this generation, shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And by the way, I don't know if you noticed my guest or not, but I brought a greater than Solomon to be my guest today. Here he is, right here. A greater than Solomon is here. Amen? Because this is the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Amen. So, We're going to stop with that last verse. Go back up to that last verse and just leave it there for people to look at. For a greater than Solomon is here. How is that a condemnation of this generation? If you read the story, which is in 1 Kings and it's in the 2 Kings and 1 Chronicles, if you read the account of that, you'll find out that she came all the distance, and then when she saw how wise Solomon was, she said, this is, I'll translate. If you hear about something, when you hear about something, it's like so exaggerated that it's like way beyond what you thought it was going to be, because that's the way we people are, you know. We exaggerate things. And she says, you're twice what I heard. You're twice as great as what I heard. And she goes all that way, and it says, because she was willing to travel so far to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And so Jesus says, a greater than Solomon you have with you, a greater than Jonah you have with her. And who is that? It's him. Right? Now you can begin to get a picture of something. When he is speaking, you know, he's speaking to the multitudes there. You understand? As he's speaking to the multitudes, he's telling them, somebody that's wiser than Solomon is here. Somebody that's more anointed than Jonah is here. And then he goes into, a little bit later, going out into the ship, sitting in the ship, and he starts sharing the parables. And he goes into the parable of the sower. Now do you begin to get a picture when the disciples came to him by themselves and said, why do you speak to them in parables? Many of you know the story of the 10 lepers. And the 10 lepers, Jesus, these 10 lepers come to Jesus, and from afar off, because, you know, they weren't even supposed to be out in public, they shout to him, oh, Jesus, you know, Son of David, have mercy upon us. And he saw them and he said, go and show yourself to the priest. Ryan did a beautiful sermon three months ago, about these 10 lepers. And as they went to show themselves to the priest, now, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to be not washed, but present themselves to the priest to prove that they are healed. Now, understand this. He's telling them to go do this now, before you see anything happen to them. And so they're going on their way, they get healed. But one of them turns around and goes back and starts praising Jesus and thanking him for healing him. And Jesus says, were there not 10 of you? Where are the 9? They were healed too, but only one came back. And then it says, he was made whole. It almost suggests like something more happened to him or something lasting happened to him. Last week we were talking about where Jesus says, to them that have, more is given. To them that have not, even what they have shall be taken away. You know what he was talking about? The disciples came to him and they said, what are you talking about? In parables. Why are you speaking to them in parables? To them that have, more is given. But to them that have not, how is that possible? To them that have not, even what they have shall be taken away. Well, it's because that if you bury the gifts of God or the talents or the things of God that comes to your life and you bury it and you don't do anything about it, you'll lose it. Now, that doesn't mean God takes it away from you. It means for all practical purposes, it's gone. You understand? But to those that have, and go and seek God more, then what they have will be multiplied. You see that? Okay. So the Queen of the South comes all this way to see Jesus, and it says, she will rise up and condemn people. And my daughter Amy was talking about the Queen of Sheba and several others that were come such a long ways and went through great trials and tribulation and testings to get someplace to hear God come through somebody. And he says, you know how that is a condemnation against us? Well, she was talking about how many people spend multiple time on their cell phone. And yet, you have the Word of God available to you. Now, do you see how the Queen of Sheba, who was willing to travel for many, many, many weeks, go great distances, many perils that they might be under, attacks from robbers and thieves and everything else, but and risking her life just to hear, sit at the feet of Solomon and hear his wisdom. And then Jesus says, greater than Solomon is here. So I don't think he was just talking about the reason for the people in Matthew 13. I don't think he was just talking about the people because they didn't come and ask about the parable. You understand? You know what I think they were talking about? In addition to that, what I think he was talking about? After saying these things to the people, a greater than Solomon is with you right now. A greater than Jonah is with you right now. He said, I did these miracles to get your attention. And he says, in a sense, do you understand when the disciples come to him and say, why do you speak in parables? Jesus is saying, were there not many of you that heard these truths? You understand? I just said, a greater than Solomon is with you. Did you not hear that? And you didn't come and ask me what that parable meant? You see that? So that chapter before has all these things in. Now, let's go to Isaiah 50, verse 4. Isaiah 50, verse 4. Now, there are seven, what they call the seven songs of the servant in Isaiah. And they are prophetic. They are messianic psalms. Now, we're going to Isaiah, and they're psalms. They're songs. And they're called the servant songs, but they're called messianic prophecies because they are talking about the Messiah who is a servant. And, you know, D.L. Moody once said that in the beginning when Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, was made known to the Israel, the Jewish people, that in the book of Isaiah, they thought there must be two Messiahs because they expected a Messiah to be this great conquering king that was going to deliver them out of whatever troubles they were in. So when they started talking about in Isaiah about the serving Messiah, they thought, well, there must be two Messiahs. They could not understand that this was one and the self-same person. But there was these seven songs that are found in seven different chapters of Isaiah. And this is one of them right here. And it's talking about the Messiah, Jesus, as the servant. And it's a song that is sung. It says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. This is the Messiah speaking here. And the word learned, if you look that up in a concordance or a Bible dictionary, it will say disciple. Now notice this is Jesus speaking prophetically, or speaking about Jesus prophetically, Isaiah is. He says, the Lord hath given me the tongue of a disciple. Notice in this particular section, what a disciple is called? The learned. So to be a disciple, how many of you want to be a disciple of Christ, of the Lord? Then you want to study. You want to go into his word and be absorbed into it and have it be absorbed into you. So if Jesus found it necessary. Now, did you know that Jesus could have been born with a total knowledge of all of God? But instead, he came to earth and took upon him the form of a servant, took upon him the form of a human. And as a human, in all manners was tempted like we are, yet without sin. As a human, he had to learn the Word of God at that time, just like you and I do. But by the time he was 12 years old and they went to Jerusalem one time, he was in the synagogue and they were looking all over for him and they couldn't find him. And they said, he's in the synagogue and he's talking to the rabbis there, and he's talking to them and he's discussing the Word of God with them, the law, the Torah, the prophets, the Psalms, the Proverbs, the romantic language. He's discussing all these things with them. Like, and so he was already on his way learning about the things of the Father. He says, he's given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season. See, in order for us, how many of you see people that are hurting? You know, if you see people that are hurting, you want to say something to them? Well, if you don't know what to say, study the Word of God. That will give you the tongue of speaking to a person in season, what they need to hear at that moment. Hello? He says, I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. Now he's going talking about the Messiah in the second person. He, or third person. You know what I'm talking about. It says, he waketh morning by morning. That means every morning he wakes up with one thing on his mind, and that's the Father. Hello? Do you understand? How many of us are in that category right now? Not me. I mean, I think of the Lord when I wake up. You know, it's like the old story about the disciple wakes up, sees the sun coming up over the horizon, and he says, good morning, Lord. The pessimist wakes up and looks at the sun coming up and say, good Lord, it's morning. What do you say? Do you say, good morning, Lord, or good Lord, it's morning? So he's given me the tongue of the learning. He's morning by morning. Remember the song, morning by morning, new mercies I see. This was the first thing he thought of. When Catherine Kuhlman, on many occasions, was asked. Now, Catherine Kuhlman had a healing ministry and a powerful one. Oh, my word. I actually went to see her while I was in California. And it was like 7,000 people getting in the Anaheim Convention Center and 7,000 people wishing they could get in. They couldn't get in. You had to go there mighty early to get in. And she's speaking, and these miracles were just happening like crazy. And when she was asked by people, how is it that these miracles are happening? She said, well, you know, honestly, I can't tell you for sure, but I can tell you this much. From the time I wake up in the morning to the time I go to bed at night, I am God conscious. Every second. Not one second in my life do I am not conscious of the presence of God in my life. That's a challenge, isn't it? Morning by morning, he waketh my ear to hear as the learned. Next verse. O Lord, and just in case you don't think this is about the Messiah, the serving Messiah. O Lord God, hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away. Let's go. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked out my beard. Plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Does that sound like something we know about coming up that we celebrate? For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face as a flint. You know what? The sureness of a flint rock. That's what they use to start fires back in the day. Back when I was a young man. Therefore have I set my face as a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. You see, he was made sin, but he was justified. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Now let's go. We're going to go now to Proverbs 4, verse 20. We'll end with that. So you see that even Jesus had to learn. Even Jesus had to study. Even Jesus had to be a disciple and have the ear of the Lord, had to dig into the Word of God. Amen. If he had to do it, do you think we need to? It says that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. If I'm predestined to be conformed, then I'm predestined to get into the Word of God. Amen? Okay. This is Proverbs 20. We're going to go to the end of the chapter. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. You know, that doesn't mean walk around looking like this at the Bible all day long. It means everything that you can do. It's like being God conscious. Everything that you can do and say as you live out your day, you can be aware of how the scriptures and the presence of God, just as Catherine Coleman, has what it says about that. You can see the holiness of God. You can see God. Amen. In everything. I'm not trying to live myself up or not, but I know the scriptures, and I tend to just, you know, see everything one way or another. No matter what the situation or the circumstance is, I see something to do with the scriptures. Right? Let them not depart from thy. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Now, you know, just keep them in the midst of thine heart. Next verse. And we'll leave this verse up for a little while. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, a while ago I said, everything that happens to me, I tend to judge it by the Word of God. When I had this PICC line put in, and you guys know what a PICC line is? Goes in the vein, goes up the vein into your heart. So it's into your heart. You have no idea what great extent they go to make sure that everything is spotlessly clean. Sterilized. They have things to rub on the tips and, you know, 15 seconds you got to rub. When we were shown how to do it, we had alcohol pads. And you got to rub that tip for 15 seconds. Then you do this for 15 seconds. Then you do that. And before you can even get started. And you put all these things, and then you go through all these, you know, there's like six alcohol swabs that we go through just to go through this routine. And what is it for? To keep the bacteria out. If you have a thing and you touch like this, touch it. Not just with your hand, with anything. Touch the edge, throw it away and start all over. Start all over with that particular thing. Everything has to be done a specific way to make sure no bacteria is getting into the heart. And this said, keep your heart with all diligence. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about the antibiotics that are going into me and how Jesus is my antibiotic. He's the one that kills that bacteria called sin out of my blood. His blood washes me clean so that the bacteria of sin has been washed out. Now he says, keep my heart with all diligence. How do you keep your heart with all diligence? Hallelujah, by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, if we, it says, 1 John 1 says, confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so if we, and I was thinking about all these steps that we were going through and how we run into a little trouble and had to call somebody on the phone. He says, we can't seem to get to do this or we can't seem to do that. And they were telling him, you got to do this and this and this, and how you had to be so particular and all this. And I was thinking of all the particular things that God did when he sent his son to die for us. Everything had to be specifically this, 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 this. And I can go on and on and on in order to cleanse my blood of the bacteria of sin. And then if I said, if I was as meticulous in my devotion to him for what he has done for me, then I'd have the whole Bible memorized by now. If I gave the same attention to cleaning all these things and making sure everything was right, if I gave the same attention that I did to that because I was protecting my heart from bacteria, just think what we would be devoted, how much we would be devoted to God. Do you understand? Is that something to think about? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's like protect that heart from bacteria with all diligence, because that bacteria gets into that heart. Out of that heart cometh the issues of life. And you don't want to mess with that. That's in the physical. But my heart is my spirit, and you got to protect it. And the way to protect that is you confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive and to receive his forgiveness. And then you keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's go on. We'll finish. Put away from you a froward mouth. Out of the good abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and perverse lips put far from you. He's kind of giving you some things about how to keep your heart with all diligence. We're talking about your spirit now. We're not talking about your physical heart. All right? It might affect your physical heart. Put away, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. What is he talking about? Make sure you look straight. You know, it's got, Jesus said this, the light of the body is the eye. If your eye is single, now I remember a friend of mine, Ron Perry. Man, that guy could play a guitar. Like, there's only one guy I know that can play anywhere near it. Now he's over there, Jamie. But Ron Perry could play a guitar. I remember Eddie Duncan, our chaplain back at Teen Challenge. He could play a guitar fairly well. And he says, Ron Perry sounds better when he's tuning his guitar than I do when I'm playing mine. And he was one, and Jamie can do this too, but Ron Perry could be playing and tuning his guitar for a different sound while he was playing. And then that guy could just, unbelievable what he could do with a guitar. And people would always come to him and say, boy, I wish I could play a guitar like you. And he was, it's simple. He says, I got to thinking about that. It's not difficult at all for him to play a guitar like that. When he was four years old, he got his first guitar. And he spent while everybody else was out playing, he would be in the closet in his bedroom playing his guitar. Then when he went to school, his parents would have to say, you know, come eat breakfast and go to school. He'd put his guitar down, he'd go eat breakfast, and he'd go back up and he'd start playing his guitar. And then his parents says, go to school. He'd put his guitar down. He'd go to school. He'd run home straight up to his bedroom, grab his guitar and start playing. Go to bed, Ron. He'd go to bed. And when they were quiet, he'd get his guitar and go into his closet and shut the door and play his guitar. And he did that for years and years and years and years and years. Nothing mattered except his guitar. And you know what? It was simple. And Paul told the church, he says, I would that you would not leave the simplicity of Christ. For I've espoused you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now we are a virgin as a body of Christ, a chaste virgin as the bride of Christ to Christ. And so Why is it simple? The simplicity of that. Well, if you've got a one-track mind, if your eye is single, if your eyes look right on, and you don't let your eyelids look too, you let your eyelids straight before you, if your eye is single, it is simple to be a Christian. There's no complexity to this. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. My commandments are not grievous. Well, boy, it sure is hard to be a Christian. It isn't if you are devoted to him as a chaste virgin. If you love the Lord and being a Christian as much as Ron Perry loved playing that guitar, it's simple. Let your eyelids look straight before you. Next verse, please. Ponder thy path, or the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. I don't think there's another verse. All right. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, but remove your foot from evil. That's it? Okay. Don't turn to the right or to the left, but go straight on. And when you get off to the right or left, guess what? I got news for you. It's going to be hard to be a Christian. It's hard to be a Christian when your eye is not single. Hello? I've been down both roads. And I know how simple it is to be a Christian when you're one-track mind. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean we don't occupy in this world and live in this world. That just means that everything we do in it for Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you cover. He says, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward you. But here's the good news, Lord. If our heart condemns us, you are greater than our heart. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. When there is no condemnation to them that are Christ Jesus, when the people of Nineveh cry out to condemn me, I say, the blood of Jesus. When the Queen of Sheba rises up to condemn me, I say, the blood of Jesus. But that's no excuse to just not be have a straight mind, Lord. And I pray that we make a dedication, a commitment. You are able. I am persuaded that you are able to keep my commitment unto you against that day. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.